word into what he's speaking into our midst. But there are very few old school things that I do, but one of them I love to do on Easter is something that the church has done for thousands of years. And it is a celebration of remembering that Jesus is no longer in the grave. How many of you are grateful there's an empty tomb that we celebrate on Resurrection Sunday? And that's what we celebrate. So I want to say this, all right? This is responsive. This is to wake you up a little bit. I'm going to say he is risen. And you have to say back, he is risen indeed. The church has been doing this for 2,000 years. So can we do that together? Are you awake enough for that? Yes. All right, he is risen. All right, see, doesn't that feel right? That felt right. It felt like I was a part of something that was a part of history and heritage to shout that out and believe it and proclaim it. Well, this is Resurrection Sunday, and it is something to be excited about. I've had that song on my mind this morning. You know, no matter what, I remember the empty grave. I remember the empty grave. I have a friend of mine, really good friend. He is a missionary in Israel. He sent pictures. He was at a sunrise service at the empty tomb this morning. I'm like, okay, put that on my bucket list. I didn't even know that was a thing. Let's do that. But it is an awesome time. Well, if I've never met you before, my name is Chris Massey. I'm one of the pastors here at Family Life Church. And today, and just like every Sunday, we celebrate that Jesus is the hope of every life. And before I get into my message, one thing I wanted to get very clear for everybody. This is not pink, all right? It's salmon. Yeah, just, I've gotten a few people who are like, Pastor's wearing pink. It's not pink, okay? It's salmon. I just wanted everybody to know that before I preach, okay? But I'm excited to share from the series that we've been in, The Lamb of God. We've been talking about this for weeks now, going back to, all through history and where this idea of the sacrificial lamb and how God was going to send this one sacrifice for all time, the Lamb of God, and how John the Baptist, when he sees Jesus, says that he points to him and says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Well, we've already been through Friday when Jesus went to the cross, when he paid for that sacrifice for us, paid for our sins. But now on today, we celebrate that Jesus is no longer in the grave. He is resurrected. He is risen. Okay, I'm going to get you on that a few times. You're going to have to pay attention, all right? Those of you who typically like to nap, you're going to have to listen, all right? But there are a number of things that it's like, if we're listening to this idea, okay, well, Jesus was raised from the dead, so what? What does that mean? What is the significance of that? And I want to look at that for a little bit this morning, but I wanted to give you, a whole ton of verses because there are so many things that are a part of these resurrection outcomes. And here, I've put them on the screen for you here. In Isaiah 53:5 and 1 Peter 2:24 says that Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. Romans 3:25 and 1 John 2:2, he satisfied the justice of God. We talked about this last week. We deserved punishment, but Jesus died for us in our place. 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19, Romans 5:10, God reconciled us to God. We're going to talk about that more this morning. Ephesians 1:7, 1 John 1:9, he forgave our sins. Aren't you grateful that God has forgiven you of your sins? That he's no longer holding them against you, he has forgiven you of your sins. Romans 6, verses 6 and 7, Colossians 1:14 and 15, he defeated the power of sin. Colossians 2:15, Hebrews 2:14 and 15, he defeated Satan and the devil. Resurrection Sunday is that day when the power of sin and death are no more because Jesus stood victoriously, said, "Satan, you don't any longer hold the keys to sin and death. I've bought them back and they are mine." He defeated death and he has given us eternal life. These are the things that we celebrate. And it should be something that is a part of our lives every single day to celebrate what Jesus has done for us, what has been accomplished by the Lamb of God. Well, I want to look at this because one of the things that Paul, the Apostle Paul, tried to do to the early church was to get them to understand why what Jesus did was so significant. And he's trying to teach them this, even through their own history. He's trying to get them to understand the significance that it's not just about the Son of God. It's about the accomplishment of what God promised through the Messiah. And so one of the ways that Paul explains this to the early church is through a man named Abraham. I mean, you've ever heard of Father Abraham, right? Had many sons, okay, right? Many sons had fun. Never mind. I had more caffeine than you. That's all I can say. Romans 4 is where we're going to go this morning. We're going to look at this promise in verses 18 to 24 because there is something very significant in the life of Abraham. And here's the awesome thing that takes place. My son and I were talking about this the other day. When you look even in the very beginning of Matthew, when it talks about the lineage of Jesus, we trace those genealogies all the way back to Father Abraham. Abraham is the first man that God encounters and says, I want to give you a promise. And then when Jesus comes and he goes to the cross and he's resurrected, that promise made to Abraham was fulfilled. And so it's important for us to see what this looks like and also what it means to us. But here's what Paul says about Abraham and why this is significant to us. I want to read verses 18 to 24 for you. It says, even though there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations, for God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God was able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. If we believe in the one that has been raised from the dead, then we become joint heirs in the promises of God. Now, I get this question all the time from people, you know, are the Jews or the Hebrew people, are they God's chosen people? Does he love them more than he loves me? Listen, when Jesus went to the grave, he said, there is no more Jew or Greek or slave or free or male or female. We are all one in the body of Christ. And here's why Paul takes the time to talk about this to the Roman church. He says, God is capable of fulfilling impossible promises. Aren't you grateful for that this morning? God is capable of fulfilling impossible promises. Now, I love how the Bible sugarcoats things for us, right? What does it say about Abraham? He was near 100 and he's like, I'm as good as dead. So is my wife. She's 90. Right? They're sugarcoating it for us to make us feel a little better. No, it's just the realities of everything that they're facing. And if you know the story of Abraham, Abraham was told by God when he was 75 years old and had no children, you're going to be the father of many nations. And he's already like, I'm a little old for that, but okay. And then he waits, but then he starts to take things into his own hands. And he messes up. But God reminds him, and we can read this in Genesis chapter 17. God says, I'm not going to fulfill my promise through your means. You tried to take this into your own hands and make it happen according to what you want to do, but I'm the God of impossible promises. I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do because I said I'm going to do it. And God is the one who does that. And so Paul points to this, and he says, when we remember that Jesus is resurrected from the grave, we are becoming joint heirs in that reality that God fulfills impossible promises to his people. Now, what does that mean for us? What's the Lamb of God up to? Can we just take a second? Saving me is impossible. Come on. Saving any of us is impossible. But Jesus did it. The grace of God accomplished it. The mercy of God, the sacrifice of God, the love of God, the power of God accomplished what is impossible. We have no reason to be saved, but we are. We are. That's what we're celebrating today. We have no reason to lay claim to that, to hold on to hope through it, but Jesus gave it to us as a gift, and it's ours, and it's something that we celebrate. But I want to look at this. I want you to see what happens in these next couple of verses here. Here's why this matters. And it says this. He was handed over to die because of our sins. We read this last week in Isaiah, right? It was our transgressions, right? And he was raised to life to make us right with God. Therefore, since we have been made right with God's in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege. Now, when I said that, you need to straighten up a little bit. All right, you are in a place this morning of undeserved privilege, where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We had no hope, but God took what was hopeless and gave us the hope of glory. God gave us the hope of glory. How many of you realize God changed your story through Jesus? You had a story that started with my life, my mistakes, and guess what? That story was going to end with my punishment. But instead of your life story ending with my punishment, it got changed, a new chapter got written, and it was my life, my mistakes, but God's mercy. But God's mercy. And he went to the cross for my sins. He went to the cross for me. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world took away my sin. And not only did he take it from me, right? Come on, let's think about this just logistically, all right? Logically. Wouldn't it have been enough if he just took away our sins? But beyond that, Jesus says, I'm not just going to wash away what you did wrong. After taking away your sin, I'm going to give you the glory of heaven for eternity. I'm going to bless you with the greatest thing in all of existence. I am going to give you the hope of glory in eternity. If you've been a part of Family Life Church for more than 18 minutes, you know that we believe that Jesus is the hope of every life. Why? Because he paid the price for every life. Because his blood covers the wrong and the brokenness of every life. Because every single person that you are ever going to lay eyes on, every single voice that you're ever going to hear, every person you're ever going to encounter has the hope of Jesus because he's given us the hope of glory through the Son of God. That is something that should excite us personally, but should also challenge us personally. How much do we know about what God has done for us? And to what extent do we see that activated in us to give it away for others? The Lamb of God that has given us this hope of glory is not just for me, but it is for all of us in eternity. I love the way that Jesus describes this, and he says that I want to have relationship with you. You know, Jesus said of himself, I'm going to go to the cross, not because I must, not because I am incapable of overpowering those who want to destroy me, but I'm going to do it because I love you. And I want relationship with you. And I want to restore your hope. You know, I know that there are some of us that can feel hopeless sometimes. You get into hopeless situations. Maybe it's in your job. Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's with your kids. Maybe it's in your health. I don't know what it is this morning. Please hear me. We still serve a God who fulfills impossible promises. We still serve a God who is giving us the hope of glory through his Son Jesus. And really, in comparison to everything else, all of that should pale as we begin to see what God has done for us, the gifts that he has given to us. But I want us to see in John chapter 8, as we get ready to close our time together and get back into worship, exactly what Jesus said is so significant about this, right? So in John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36, Jesus said to the people who believed him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teaching. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The people he was speaking to, they said, but we are the descendants of Abraham. We have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean we will be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone, can you say everyone? Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a child is part of the family forever. A child is part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. You're truly free. Listen, this is the message that Paul preaches again and again and again after the hope of the resurrection is poured into the lives of those. He says, listen, you were once in bondage. You were once slaves to sin. You couldn't help it. There was a sin nature that was inside of you that just wanted to be at odds with God, and it was winning. That sin nature deserved punishment from God. And here's the thing. While we're heaping on the abuses to God of the sinful things we're doing, the separation that we're creating between us and God, he is standing there saying, I'm going to fix it. They deserve it, but I'm going to put that punishment on my son. I came across something a couple weeks ago that it's kind of this new prevailing idea that people are like, well, how can God be good if he puts the punishment of the world on his son instead of taking it himself? Can I tell you, I can explain that very easily because I'm a dad. I would much rather, please hear me, I would much rather suffer than to see my son suffer or to see my daughter suffer. Put it on me. I'll take it all day long. If you're a parent, you know that to be true. There is no part of you, not even one shred of you, that wants to see your kids suffer for one second. But God loved us so much that he didn't even hold back what would cost him the most. Yeah, he could have given himself, but that wasn't what was most valuable. What was most valuable was his son. That's what he gave. And then Jesus says, you'll be my disciples. You'll be a part of my family. You're not going to be slaves anymore. You're not going to be bound to sin anymore. You're not going to have to do sinful things anymore. You're going to be part of me. You're going to be part of my family. So God has fulfilled this impossible promise. He's given us the hope of glory. But then he says this, I want to give you the hope of a family. I want to give you the hope of a family. Well, I don't know if I can have that hope because you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know who I've hurt. You don't know the mistakes I've made. Let me be honest with you. No, I don't. Please hear me. You don't know the places I've been and the things I've done and the ways I've hurt his heart and those around me. And I'm standing here no more justified or less justified than any of us here. It's not because of us. It's because of Jesus. So if you're hopeless today, there's an empty grave. If you're lost, there's an empty grave. Don't know where to turn? There's an empty grave. Feeling like you don't belong? There's an empty grave. Feeling like you don't deserve it? You don't. But there's an empty grave. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world didn't do it for everybody else and not you. He did it for all of us. And so in a moment, we're going to take some time to worship together. And here's the question. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy other than the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world, who has taken my punishment, taken my brokenness, given me the hope of glory, and given me the family of God? I'm no longer on the outside looking in. God says, my brother is Jesus, and I am a joint heir in the promises that God made to Abraham. And I am receiving the hope of glory and eternity and family and mercy and forgiveness and future because of Jesus. Church, that is not just for me. It's for you. It's for you. And I hope you receive it this morning. We're going to go back into a time of worship, and I want to encourage you, let's take time to respond to Jesus. You already got up early. You might as well give him glory. You're here, and that's half the battle. But let's take a moment to say, I see it. I recognize it. I value it to the place that I want to worship the King of glory, because who else is worthy? I want to encourage you to find a spot. We're going to open up the front here, the altars. But to come, because Jesus already gave the best of himself. Can you give something for him? God, I want to give you my heart. I want to give you my life. Maybe this morning you need to bring your brokenness. God, I bring you my failures. I bring you my hurts. I bring you my disappointments. I want to lay it all down and I want to worship you this morning. So will you stand to your feet as we get ready to worship? Again, please find a spot to just respond to God, because who else is worthy?
Oh, Just want to take one moment because I believe that the Lord wants to speak to each one of us individually today. And I love what Pastor Chris said. That was so good. Jesus didn't die for everyone but you. You're included. And so I want us to take a moment and just be in silence for a moment and just allow the Lord to speak. Maybe he's just gonna allow you to feel accepted. Maybe he's just gonna allow you to feel known for once in a long time. Maybe he's gonna just allow you to feel like you're worth it. Because Jesus went to the cross, died for you. So he's called you worth it. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I encourage you to allow him in this moment to say, Jesus, just come into my heart. Because then your whole life changes. And now you could say, Jesus, you are worthy of everything. My whole life, you're worthy of it. So I'm just going to encourage you to we're just going to sit in silence for a moment. And you could keep playing. Just going to sit and just allow the Lord to speak. We're not going to sing a song. I just encourage you, God, what is it that you want to speak to me right now? Maybe it's something that he wants to, you're listening in the ear of your heart, or maybe it's just a feeling that he wants to encourage you with today. God, what is it that you want to speak? God, we thank you that you have called us worthy because you died for us. God, we thank you that you've seen us as worth it. So God, we now say that you are worthy of our whole lives. You're worthy of everything. You're worthy of every moment, of every good, of every bad, of everything that we have, everything we have to offer. All of our gifts and our talents and our abilities, Lord, they're from you, so they're for you. So God, we say thank you, not only for your sacrifice today, but for how you speak to each one of us. God, we thank you. And we remember and reflect of your goodness and your sacrifice today. You're such a good God. We love you. We thank you that this might have been the start or the rejuvenation of a life that says you're worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lamb of God. You are worthy. You are worthy. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can take your seat at this time, man. We're just so excited and just reflective of the gift that God has given us. Such a good God. If this is maybe your first time ever receiving Jesus, or maybe you want to have a conversation of what that could look like, we're going to have our prayer team up here in the front. They would love to lead you in what the next steps are for your life. We are just so excited for you. So excited for you. If this is your first time here, we would love the opportunity to get to meet you outside of the double doors to the left at our welcome banner. We have a small gift for you just for stopping by, and more information of our church and how you could stay connected with us as well. And just want to let you know too, we do meet every Sunday at 9 and 11. So if this is maybe your first time, we'd love to have you continue to meet with us and be a part of our family here at Family Life Church. Well, we love you. Have a great week. Happy Easter. Greet somebody on the way out. We love you. We love you. We love you. Have a great week.